Welcome back to Know the Breast Talks. A good friend of mine, who I was chatting with this morning, sent me an article that was penned by no less a person than Reverend Guy Hewitt, who subsequently became His Excellency Guy Hewitt. And this was penned on the 24th of February 2013. And the title of the article is Mr. Congeniality Takes the Title. Of course, Mr. Congeniality, to whom he was referring, would have been the Right Honorable Frundell J. Stewart. The article was quite long. He made reference to my polls, which were wrong, and he indicated that I got it wrong and that he was happy that I got it wrong on this occasion because he was more inclined to Mr. Congeniality, which would have been the same Frundell Jerome Stewart. He said that Frundell Jerome Stewart pulled off what could have been one of the greatest upsets in the political history of Barbados, and I dare say the region. And this is a direct quote. References were made to Muhammad Ali's chances. He was able to dismiss the major pundits and compared to the so-called political and economic titan that he was up against, namely Frundell Jerome Stewart. He fought, he persevered, and he prevailed. So Mr. Owen Arthur has been forced to accept the fact that he's ill-suited for the advanced combat of 21st century politics. Primarily, Mr. Stewart won on a split decision, but a win is a win. And to many in the trenches, it had all the feel of a knockout. So the presumption, of course, is that Mr. Congeniality would have been better suited to 21st century politics. The article goes on, and it speaks to various aspects of the preference of Stewart over Arthur. And he indicated that Stewart will find himself going forward, and he should be invigorated by an effective campaign that reassured by having his own mandate. As Bujo Banton's penned, it is not an easy road, and the majority of people who voted against it have serious concerns with the prevailing economic situation. So this was some advice for Mr. Frundell Stewart there, that he should be invigorated by an effective campaign. And it's interesting that this campaign, so effective it was, that he could not repeat it and be effective the second time around. I, like Guy Hewitt, understand that the last campaign was all about Owen Arthur, and the fact that Owen Arthur was in there this time made all of the difference. But I think the thing that struck me about this article, though, was the comfort with Mr. Congeniality. And, the fact that Mr. Congeniality was no different in 2013 than he was in 2018. But yet, still in 2018, Mr. Congeniality is ripe for criticism, which would not have been appropriate in 2013 because he won. And this is the reason why I said earlier that it is so important that we are clear in terms of our articulation, because there are many people who will want to heap scorn on Prime Minister Frundell Stewart now and for criticism of things that he has always been, because the fact is that he's never communicated. Congeniality, yeah, he congenially is, but he's never been a communicator. But it was fine before. It's not fine now. And therein lies my challenge in this regard. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good afternoon. Good morning, yes.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Sir, how are you?
I'm fine, brother.
Yep.
I just want to make two brief comments. The first one is on what the acting Prime Minister said, and the Honorable Senator Bradshaw, about corporate punishment.
Very good. I'm happy that we'll finally get to discuss this.
Now, I'm a avid reader of the Bible, and most people have this notion that the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. But Mr. Wickham, I have read the Bible and I have looked at the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And there is no commandment I see there that speaks specifically to flogging children. It just isn't there. I have seen what the law of Moses says to bring up the children in the mental regulation of the law of God, to teach them it. And instill it in their hearts. What Solomon said is Solomon's opinion. And I would say, this is why he said that it's, the Bible says all scripture is inspired of God, but that doesn't mean it is God inspired. And it was substantiated by saying, the Apostle Paul has said in some of his scripture, it is I, not the Lord, that say this. And then he goes and say, it is the Lord. The only thing in the Bible that is of God is part of the Bible that is of God. The only thing in the Bible that is of God is prophecy. Because it says there, prophet man has not spoke on his own, but he was born on by the Holy Spirit. So they got this notion and use it to say that the Bible says to flog the children. It's unfortunate. But I would like to say this here, though. I am not speaking on the behalf of any politician, because I stay neutral. I just want to add that because it's something that always bothered me when people get and say, the only Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So I say, look, but it just is a commandment. It is just an opinion. You have an opinion how to bring up your child and discipline it. If you want to flog it, it doesn't matter for you. Mm. But it is not, and that is an opinion, sir. So I just
think. So you are for or against?
For or against it?
You are for or against it?
I'm for or against it. Yeah, I don't believe in it, man. Okay. Not saying when really read that in the Bible and I understand it clearly. Mm-hmm. I believe that you could discipline your child without having to be, because being a child really, yeah, that don't make sense at all.
But why is the biblical reference so important, no?
You see, that I wonder why.
Okay.
You know, because I can tell something, Mr.
I mean, do you do all the things that the Bible tells you to do?
Me? If I do all the things, mm-hmm, the Bible tells me to do? Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So you keep slaves?
If I keep...
slaves.
But, Mr. Vicker, the Bible tells you to keep slaves?
It certainly says you can't. Do you cut your hair? Because it says you shouldn't cut your hair.
The Bible tells me they got to cut my hair.
Yeah, but you need to read the book of Leviticus. It tells you you shouldn't cut your hair.
Mr. Wickham,
mm-hmm,
he was wearing Nazarite, sir. That was the law of Nazarite. Okay. And that was the law that you could go
into. That in the New Testament law?
No, it is not. But that's what I'm trying to tell you.
The Apostle Paul talked about keeping slaves, too. He also talked about beating your children.
Yeah, but listen, you must understand something, right? At the time of Christianity, even before... The law was given to Moses.
The time of Christianity, but this is supposed to be the time of Christianity too? Christianity
no,
time
no,
in
no.
that?
I understand what I'm saying. Before the law was given to Moses, people were in slaves. But God never told us the people that they should keep slaves. No. He allowed them to keep slaves. The same way, he allowed them to have more than one wife.
Yeah, but the Apostle Paul spoke, his letters were written after Moses, after Christ came.
Yeah.
He claimed that he met Jesus. He's the only one of the apostles that met Jesus in a dream.
Uh-huh.
I personally think he was mad, but that was my view.
But you know that the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the slave master and the slave also, you know, and he said both of them are under the law of Christ, of God.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, you know that when Paul wrote that letter to the slave that ran away, you know the slave had more freedom, Paul, because Paul was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote the slave and told the slave to go back to his master. You know, the slave went back. You think he's being treated that bad, he will go back.
Right.
You see, the point I make that the Bible is saying at that time is that you as a slave master, yes, you can have slaves, but you are not to mistreat and ill-treat the slaves like the other people.
Mm.
Because you were only Lord and Savior.
Right.
You understand?
All right, you know, I think the important thing, though, sir, is for us to discuss this issue in a non-biblical and non-spiritual manner. I think that a lot of time is wasted, quite frankly, trying to understand whether the Bible approves or disapproves of beating your children. For me, it should be a question as us having sufficient common sense and understanding to realize it's a bad thing to do. And while the biblical thing is something I engage because I realize that for some people it's important, I think it's unfortunate that we have to spend so much time trying to decide whether God wants you to beat your children or not.
But he doesn't. But he doesn't.
Fair enough. There are some people who believe that he does.
But that
and they will argue as forcefully that they believe he does want you to beat your children.
Nah, man. Jehovah doesn't want you to beat your children, man.
Right.
Doesn't. You used to love your children, man.
Anything else for me, sir?
But no. I want to touch on what you said, but I can't touch on it no more. I got to do some research.
What is this?
But the coming of Christ. But the next time, I will go and do some research when I come.
You know when he come in?
Yeah.
You know when he come in?
Not when he come in. I want to give a little insight. Right. So I'm going to give that another time. We can't give you a note.
All right. No problem. I look forward to that insight on where he's coming. Because I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Dr. Brastas, good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Got Dennis shaking his head because they say, well, I'll be ready. Yeah.
Good morning, Peter.
Yes, sir. Good morning, morning. How you doing?
Very good, you know. You better pick up your goals and Sheila and be ready.
I'll be ready. Because they say we don't know the day, the time, nor the hour. So we should all be ready.
That time is very soon, Peter, so you better be prepared.
Well, soon, like in next week or two, is it this afternoon?
Yeah, we'll see very soon.
Yeah.
No, Peter?
I would like it to happen before the end of the month because I ain't going to pay my mortgage. That's what I always say.
I would like the time
to be timed suitably so that all the end of month payments that will come, you won't go about to make them.
We would never be able to convince you that there's a Christ. No matter how.
Right.
Now, Peter.
Yes, sir.
I really want to be short, but I'll answer some questions first. Two short questions, sorry. I know you're a very good friend of the former Minister of Finance, Chris Finkler.
I am, or I was?
I don't know. You got to tell me if you still is.
I don't know.
Okay.
I hope I still am.
All right, tell me something, Lord Peter. What have become of him?
I don't know. I heard that he was spotted running in, because he runs a lot. Apparently, he was spotted running in either Six Crossroads or somewhere in St. Philip.
Six Crossroads?
But there was a sighting. There was a reported sighting that I saw someone on Facebook said that he was sighted running, exercising.
Six Crossroads? You know which direction he was going in, or his side still coming through?
I don't know. I didn't get all of those details. I just heard there was a sighting. I inquired after him. I'm also close to his entire family. So I met his brother recently on my travels, and I inquired after his health and well-being, and he told me that he was alive, well, and in Barbados.
Okay.
And that rumors of his demise, his heart attack, his going to the Grenadines on a yacht, all of those rumors were entirely untrue.
Oh, because I was wondering if he had gone on a cruise.
No, he has
cruise,
not.
Until Straker sent through him as well. Because I haven't heard him either.
Okay.
And as well as the blind man and Alpha. So I don't know if they went aboard the cruise as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only my thing I decided I would ask if you know his whereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we really want to ask.
So yeah, no, I don't know his whereabouts, but yeah.
But I don't believe Peter, though, he would make a public appearance come Thursday.
Wait? What's happening Thursday?
There's an event going, so I really don't want
an event?
Something happening going on Thursday. So I really don't want to say anything else on that. But I believe he would now make a public appearance.
Okay.
That particular day. So you could, I hear that from reliable sources as well, let's just say.
Lunchtime lecture or something, so. Sir, we're going to have to take a message, but I want you to finish your 2 points, so let's take a message and then we come back. Good morning.
Yeah, Peter is still here.
Yeah. So, yes, sir, right. You were telling me, you had a couple of other things other than the sighting of Chris Sinclair.
Right, exactly.
Everybody wants to see Chris. It was funny, because this time, 3 months ago, nobody didn't want to see Chris. Nobody didn't want to hear Chris.
And
now everybody wants to see and hear Chris.
We wanted to respond.
It's funny.
But
I tell you, 8 years ago, I would say 9 years ago, everybody wanted to hear Chris because Chris was the most popular minister. You remember those polls I did in the lead up to when the new prime minister was chosen?
I think so.
Right. A majority of people wanted Barbados to be led by Chris. So the two love Chris then. But
being a little back to that, though, I don't think Straker Stench would ever come down to your about polls again. I think the last election altogether. Now, back to my point, the particular one.
Wait, hold on a minute. Somebody here is saying he's jogged up Lucas Street past Kings Park and he goes along Stratford, St. Philip. Right, yeah. So he's this is the jogging route. So if you want to see him, perhaps you can go and stand up on those areas and see.
Look, Peter, I was looking at the present members of the government,
mm-hmm.
as we have right now in Parliament. And I was asking myself, would you honestly believe, Peter, that the former members of the Democratic Party who now lose the seats, you think those fellows will ever come to present themselves as candidates again? When you look at the sort of dynamic people that we have in Parliament right now.
Some of them will.
You believe so?
Oh, yeah.
You believe people like Dovinus or Essex?
You don't think that the Fantastic Four is going to be, they're interested in candidacy? If they were interested in candidacy, they wouldn't be there?
But Peter, I mean, I don't have the word to describe
it. If you want to know my view on if they should, that's a different question. Because I don't think they should, but I think they will. I think all four of them will be offering themselves as candidates.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
People like John Boyce and Eswick and Michael Lashley.
I don't know if any of them coming back, but I suspect Lashley will come back and Lashley might win too. But he came close to winning last thing. I don't know if he's going to have resources like before, because that's the question. If the resources ain't working, they're going to be more scarce now.
I think it will be real difficult for any of them to come back and win a seat again. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the people in Barbados already make their position clear to them, and I honestly don't believe that you will ever see one of them back in Parliament again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't ever believe so.
But doesn't mean they're not going to try.
But you see, after the try again, the mayor again, obviously a party 30 seats all over again. that's something that could happen too.
We'll see.
Uh-huh. All right, Peter, I won't be much longer, so I ran off though. I don't want to delay the call.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. This is Dr. Brass Talks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon. We are on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. Okay, Peter, I hope you don't like corporal punishment. As a child growing up, I was beaten by my mother very badly. And the thing about it is that I was not even hard ears. I can't even call that lashes. I could call that abuse. Today, as someone starts to speak to me too loudly, I have this fear that they're going to get angry and beat me. I start to raise my hand and I feel I am blocking a lash. I am in my 40s and the mental anguish is still there. Thank God I never passed it on to my own children. And I'm happy, ma'am, that you also did not pass it on to your own children. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wick. How are you this morning?
I'm great, sir. And yourself?
I'm fine.
Good.
I only wanted to be in on two things this morning.
Mm-hmm.
One, I would have heard a lot of people think about this issue with the road tax. I believe that the situation is that we as a people tend sometimes to hear things. We hear what we want to hear and what we should analyze and what we should see. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do understand the road tax as it stands now, that if your road tax was due, even the last day in June, that you should make sure that you would have paid your road tax, you should make sure your insurance and everything is clear so that you would be able to get the disc from the licensing authority showing that your insurance is paid and you are clear to work on the road. As well as if your road tax is due, let me say, in August, you should make sure that your vehicle is insured, that you can get the insurance certificate, and so that you can take the license and the authority that will be able to ensure that you will be able to travel on the road because your insurance is up to date. Mm-hmm. My position on this is that everything that you are doing now is hinged on the insurance of your vehicle. Like I was saying, my insurance is paid up to October. My insurance is in June.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can drive, if I go and drive both my car now, then if the police stop me, they would say I go on this in my car for October 2018 for road tax.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ain't got the insurance for June, charge me for being on the road without insurance.
Yep.
So I think that these are the things that we as a people sometimes need to sit back and analyze. Okay. And do the right things and don't put ourselves in a position that we can get headaches and blood pressure over simple things that could easily be, you know, and that's how I see it. And sometimes someone could tell you something, but it doesn't matter. Mean somebody tell you park for 2 days and you go to enjoy, but you're still where you were. That's if it was you. No, I would have heard you a little while ago on the talking about the children. I would like to compliment the Minister of Education for looking at that issue, because I do believe that today, if you sit down and you look at the children, you would realize, one, I would have grown up in a different time. Today is different, but when you analyze it, if you want to look at it biblically, there's nowhere in the Bible that I would have seen or I would have learned that Jesus or God himself would have told you that you would have brutalized your child. What I know is that children think, they understand, they know where love is, and in some cases you would see where some children will communicate things to one set of adults, and when they get to the other side, they have that scare. And I think that in leveling that playing field in interaction between parents, children, teachers, and children, so from the smallest growing up, that we will probably see a drastic and a better change and understanding from both. Like, and I would like to see that something like that happen, whereby children would be more entertained in discussing and trying to find out their problem rather than putting fear in them to make the problem more grave than what it may really be. Thank you.
Okay. Sir, I want to thank you for that. And certainly the future is bright by your standards and certainly by what I'm seeing. Someone is saying close to winning. Michael Ashley lost by 1,592 votes. The fact is that Michael Ashley's margin to the cumulative two people that ran against him would have been 1,297. But the point I'm always making is that it's a bad idea to look at it that way. His actually was the closest to winning. He got 61% of the... Sorry, he got 40... My apologies. His opponent got 61% of the popular vote, which was actually the second lowest. The person that received 58% of the popular vote was in St. John. So the two strongest DLP constituencies would be St. John and St. Philip North. So don't mind the numbers. Just look also at the number of people that vote in that constituency. So based on the national swing and all of these, the percentages, the fact is that the two strongest DLP seats now potentially would be 58 and 61%. This is for the BLP in St. John and St. Philip North. My sense is that if the DLP were to triumph, they would be able to triumph in those two seats. And the other point that I often make, or that I have been making, is that in the history of Barbados, seats that are around 66% tend not to change. So when we look at the biggest swings, seats that are around 66% tend not to change. As it stands now, there are three seats that are below that, and St. Philip North is one of them. So in the realm of possibilities, one could argue that if there were to be any seat conversion in the next election, it would probably happen among those three seats. And it was that reason I was saying that his one was one of the ones that came closest to winning. Having said that, however, it's entirely possible that we could have 30 love again. I certainly wouldn't rule that out. And it is too early for us to be speaking in those terms anyhow. Dr. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Beckham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah. Good.
I'm calling just to make a few points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, why is the All-I Ward still in that shabby-looking condition?
The All-I Ward is the old hospital, right?
Yeah. Could a hotel be built there and encompass where the old hospital was as rooms and a beautiful setup there for tourists?
Yeah, but it's also opening on to thing. Doesn't in Wellington Street. Oh, the I Ward is in the front. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No. I wasn't sure where the I ward was. It was in the front. Yeah. So that whole building, that whole site, is one that has tremendous potential. And my understanding is that it's not good for a hospital anymore because it's too low to the ground. But I believe it's a site that government really should look to push off and do something with significantly. Saying. Yeah, because it is it's a fantastic site, you know. Right across from a decent beach. I mean, the old welfare office needs to be repaired and refurbished. But it's a good spot. Move the family planning from in front there. And, you know, you have a really good spot.
The other point that I wanted to make is I've seen numerous tourists walking down to ships when they come for holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And they peruse the market, some of them. I always wonder if it can be a very hygienic, clean, and nice spot where you could fry fish. And let them sample exactly what they're seeing in its true state of finish.
Because you have a fish market right there that they walk past, but there's no facility for them to sample fresh fish.
No, they go in and look around and inquire.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
So I'm saying that some nice place, not with tens of thousands of people
and
down there.
I find the fish fry environment, I find it a very relaxing, you know, cultural experience. Yeah. You go up oysters, you get that. And right in Bridgetown, is literally right there. There's Trevor's Way. You know, there's really no reason why it shouldn't be encouraged. And, you know, you may very well find people who work in and around town may pop down there at lunchtime and eat some fish, you know.
Right.
The problem is that y'all like a lot of pork. That's the problem. If it was Pickford sauce sharing down there, you would see people breaking down to be down there. But y'all don't know about the good fish that, you know.
The final point, have you heard anything more on CLECO development?
Not a word.
Oh, well, that's all right. Thank you very much, Dan.
Right. Okay. Welcome back to Delta Brass Talks. Good afternoon. Good morning, sorry. Good afternoon. Good morning. Yeah, there's a gentleman here that keeps provoking me, a biblical guy. He sent me this Strasbourg thing for like 3 times, and I've already dealt with it. I'm not going back to it again. He sends me something about the explanation of the Bible's view on slaves and that you can keep a slave and a granddaughter in a house if you have debt. And now he's telling me that I have read the Bible and greatly misunderstood it. Sir, I am not going to be responding to you anymore, so you could as well stop messaging me. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good morning. Morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the licensing, the insurance on the vehicles. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that when you go and pay, if your car is registered already at the ABAT MTW licensing authority, and you go and pay your insurance, I think the insurance should issue you with a sticker to stick on the car to show that the insurance is paid instead of going back to licensing authority.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the better way.
All right. I mean, that's something that could work. I think Dennis is nodding his head in approval. And there's no reason why we can't have that kind of thing going on. So it's possible that it would be easier, certainly, for the police to be able to see at a glance whether the car is licensed or is insured or not. Because it can
the insurance companies give a sticker that you are paid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way out.
They can always color code it and use a different one every year.
Hey. Yes, you understand.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. I think we have to go now to the regional roundup. Yeah, we have to go to the regional roundup. Dennis is taking us out early as usual. So we go to the regional roundup. We come back to you in about 10 minutes, and we do hope that you will stay with us.